Good day. Welcome to podcast number...
Number four.
My goodness. And number four is actually podcast number three, version two.
Yeah, I guess you can think of it that way.
It's the extended Def Jam remix of the Musetech podcast.
That's right. Musetech, M-U-S-T-E-C-H.net.
I'm Darren Morton.
I'm Joe Pizzano, and we're back.
Okay, we are working our way through the Musetech. Why do I keep calling it Musetech?
I don't know. Maybe we should have someone come up with a logo for us with a moose that does some music things. You know, a little bit of Musetech. But it's a Musetech. I don't know.
We'll see.
Either way, it's a technology program, and it's all about music and technology, and the website's all about music and technology.
And what is the website, Mr. Pizzano?
www.musetech.net.
And you can also email us at?
info@musetech.net. We'd be glad to listen to what you have to say about what we have to say, and you have to listen to us, so why not make us listen to you?
Your feedback is very critical to our broadcast. Okay, we are working our way through the Musetech.
Here we go.
Musetech.
Here we go.
Manifesto on copyright and PRM.
It's not so much a manifesto as some things I'd like to see a little bit more clear.
And that which I agree with. And so let me see. We have covered five topics so far in podcast number three. So with podcast number four.
Yeah, well, we'll continue on a little bit here. And one of the things that right now that you can't do legally without really getting permission is that you can't, as a parent, we talked a little bit about this in podcast number three, you can't really make a videotape of your kid's performance legally without obtaining rights. And if you're recording some group where the kids are actually under 18, not only do you have to have the rights from the companies, the mechanical rights and not the performance rights, but the production rights, you have to actually get the permission of every kid in that group.
No kidding. Wow.
That's right. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You do, because they're under 18. So unless the school has some kind of policy that says your child, by being in this group, may be videotaped, then you have to actually go acquire all of the signatures of the people that are under 18 in that group.
Oh, wow.
Or the parental signatures.
Unless you're posting, you know, cheerleader stuff on YouTube.
We don't want to do that.
We won't get into that.
Man, we're not going to get into that. But you're right. And, you know, it's just kind of a cover your quote butt thing, you know, for the people. You just, the one in the million that that could cause an issue with you, and especially schools do not like to see legal issues.
Oh, yeah.
You need to cover your tracks with that. So, let's just take that permission thing aside. One of the things that I would like to see be able to be done, and I think this is totally fair, it's not asking too much from the publishers, is that anyone that's in the ensemble should be able to have an archived copy of that performance.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Does that sound bad? You know, you're in the ensemble, you've paid to be in the ensemble, you make a recording. This recording's not going to be sold. It may not even be finished. It's just basically like the one archive copy that you're allowed to keep of the recording, but everyone that's in the group gets the copy of that archived copy. That way you have something. It's a keepsake. The kids have something they can take with them, especially for educational and nonprofit uses. What's wrong with being able to give to your kids with the ability today to quickly make the media that we can make? Here's a video. Someone's dad, someone's mom took the video. They took the time to convert it to some ridiculously cheap MPEG format. You know, it's got a whole, you know, 50 kilobytes a second. The video grain looks like garbage. But why can't you post that and have your kids have a copy of that? It doesn't seem too much to ask.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, the kids are in the group. Let's let them have a copy of that without having to deal with all these other things.
Amen.
You know about the Harry Fox Agency, right?
Yeah, I do indeed know about Harry Fox.
Tell us a little bit about copyright warehousing and distributing of rights through those.
Oh, yeah. I know that much about Harry Fox.
Oh, you don't know about the Harry Fox. You're messing with me.
I was just covering.
Well,
I'm
just
going to
put you on the spot, man.
Well, come on. Give me Harry Fox,
all right,
Mr. Pizzano.
Okay. Harry Fox Agency, harryfox.com. If you are going to actually sell your product, whether it's a CD or DVD, then you can just go to harryfox.com and pay maybe 8 cents, 45 cents, depending upon how popular it is, per CD. It's a clearinghouse. You go to them, you get your rights, you can do it. If you're going to sell that for X amount of money, even if it's only $5 a CD, you do need to do that. But what I'm talking about is we're not selling the CD. These people were in the group. Here's an archived copy of it. It's not being sold. The people that are in the group, I believe they should be able to legally do what they want with that, because they've already paid for the performance rights, and in a sense, their performance is copyrighted as well. That's mm-hmm. them. So if they're in it, they ought to be able to have that one quote-unquote archived copy, and the one that one copy should apply to all the people that are in the group.
Now, what if there was a nominal donation handling fee associated? That's the gray area.
Yeah.
A lot of churches deal with that, too. It's mm-hmm. like, well, if you give us $2, we'll give you a taped copy of the service. Now, once again, this gets really deep into copyright issues, and churches are up
right.
against the wall on this.
They
and
are.
A lot of them don't even know.
Right.
Especially churches heavy in contemporary music.
Ultimately, here's the deal. If you can certainly tape the sermon, and you can do whatever you want with that, because that is the work of the mm-hmm. pastor that's with that. When you start to, and of course, hymns are certainly public domain as well.
Most hymns.
Most hymns,
yeah.
Right. Most hymns, certainly the ones before 1923.
Yeah, which most are.
Which most are, right? We're talking about the old staunch, you mm-hmm. know, solid core church hymns of the 1900s mm-hmm. with those. Those are all public domain right now. But if you go out and you want to have a contemporary worship where you have a lot of new songs that are being done, mm-hmm. if you record that and then you reproduce that, technically, if you're just going to send a copy of that to the shut-ins, you're in violation.
Mm-hmm.
You are. And to me, that's not fair use either. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, here we are. We're doing a good work.
Right.
We're going to send this out to people. And you know, can you charge for the material? That's really gray area. I would say, to be safe, don't.
Yeah.
Because now there's no money involved. And
correct.
You get into, you know, $3 or $4 for a CD. We all know what a CD costs today. How much is a blank CD your cost?
No, 22, 23 cents.
If that, right? Mm. And, you know, to make it doesn't even cost more. You're charging $3 or $4 for...
Now, I buy better CDs than
well,
you do.
Well, that's right. That's right. 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 Mine don't have the... they're not as shiny.
Yeah.
My CDs
shiny. They have to have the white thermal
power. Oh, that's right. Anyway. That's right. So anyways, long story short, you can't even do that,
yeah.
Without obtaining the copyright permission. So again, nonprofit entity, I think we should have a little bit more leeway to do things like that.
Correct.
Do not. The question is, am I affecting the publisher's ability to make money? Do you think that person that's laid up for whatever kind of illness is going to purchase something anyways? How do they affect the publisher's ability to make money off of that? I'm not sure. And that's, mm-hmm. of course, one of the questions you have to answer when you're being put up against copyright.
Yeah.
If you're being, you know, put up against that by a lawyer, okay, well, what did you do with this? So it is important to think about copyright.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about here, of course, is things that I think should be fair use. They're not things that are fair use. They're things that I think that should be fair use. Earlier in the previous podcast, we talked about the copyright entity saying to you, or in not saying to you by not answering a copyright question as being the answer no. I don't think that should be 100% acceptable. I think the copyrights need to, publishers, the holders of copyright, need to provide a clearly accessible means of contactability. Meaning, if I send you a copyright question, then within 8 weeks, I should be able to actually have a no
mm-hmm.
rather than a no answer.
Are you implying some people don't read their email?
I'm not implying that. I'm just saying that they know. You
mm-hmm.
know, when you click on that button that says, you know, ask for permission,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it goes to a junk folder.
You
know, it's spam.
Electronic
okay,
file
spam.
13.
We know that if you're asking for permission to this, that we're just going to say no, so we're not even going to waste our time.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get back to you. So that's one of the things that I would like to see. I'm not saying that no answer should be a yes answer. I'm just saying that's provide some kind of like limit, some term limit where they have to provide a means that they do get back to you
mm-hmm.
With that. Another thing that really gets me about this copyright thing is that as a non-commercial or non-profit group or an educational group, I can't use what my group does to promote my group on the web.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take a copy of something that we performed legally without the permission of the author and put it on my site.
Mm-hmm.
You're a marching band, right? I got this great marching band. We're doing this amazing arrangement of something. We did a great performance of it. I want it to be the background music for my website. I can't do it. I can't do it without actually contacting the holder of that
mm-hmm.
copyright and saying, hey, Are they going to give you permission? I don't know. Maybe they're not going to get back to you
when
you ask them. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, some publishers would be glad to do it. And I'm not going to paint all publishers with this wide paintbrush that they don't get back to you. But it's been my experience that when I ask for copyright information, more times than not, I don't get an answer. But I think if you're going to go ahead and put out a promotional CD for a nonprofit organization, that, you know, it's not, this is about us, and maybe not so much a promotional CD that you would charge people for, but a promotion on your website. Here we are, here's some of the music, listen to our last season. You're not really affecting their ability to make money. And in a sense, in my mind, if I'm going to play this amazing song and my band's going to be just amazing with it, I'm promoting them. I'm saying, look at this, you know, great arrangement. And I think that when we do that, we need to provide the information, of course, here's what this was, but it's promotional. It's about me. It's about my website.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should be allowed to do that.
As long as perhaps you sign an agreement that says you will lock down any form of recording of that stream. It has to be a live stream. It can't be downloaded. And
I don't know. You're starting to sound like a lawyer over there to me.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Yeah, you know, and in a sense, I don't. You know, you're right. Well, and then how do you lock down that? And we get back into this
whole
full circle back to digital rights management. You know, and if I own something, you know, should I have to encode it? I don't know. But I think for a website that's non-educational, non-commercial, non-profit, you ought to be able to put up copies of your performance. Can you get permission? Sure, you can. Are you going to get it? Maybe. You know, I don't know about that. But I think that fair use could use a little bit of tweaking, as I said before, to make it more enjoyable for us, the consumers of things, and still protect the copyright holder and they so that they can get their fair share as well from these type of things. We didn't cover everything that we wanted to talk about, so I'm going to post this list here at some point.
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, we'll post it on musetech.net, MUSTECH.net. And you can take a look at it and see what you think. At some point, what I'd like to do is maybe get a little bit more backing to these things and maybe kind of use it as a list to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know, we agree with this. As consumers, we'd like to see some of these things done. So when we get to the next Millennial Copyright Act, which Lord knows might be another 1,000 years, you know.
Or the Library of Congress passes away and it all gets revisited.
Mm-hmm. Something happens to where, you know, we can get a little bit more out of fair use. Fair use that allows us to do what we need to do and still protects the original copyright owner.
Okay, well, that puts the nail in another podcast number 4.
Or puts the nail in our coffin.
Yeah, it depends.
We'll see. It depends how many people
we... may or may not be back next week.
That's right. Depends on how many people react not so
good. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily the opinions of those of host. Actually, they are. All right, so.
All right. Anyways, well, hey, that wraps it up. I'm Joe Pisano.
I'm Darren Morton.
And we'll catch you next time.